Revelation chapter number 13, and we have been looking at the book of Revelation, and by no means are we doing a verse-by-verse study. If you wanted a verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation, you'd have to go through the Bible Institute, and we would go into more detail than what I'm allowed to do in the time that we have. If you went verse-by-verse, we'd be here till the Lord did come. But we've sort of been trying to do chapter-by-chapter and give you a basic overview on a Sunday night the best way we can and keep it as interesting as possible. But what you have, you have Revelation chapter 11, 12, 13, 14. Those four chapters. And all four of those chapters deal with the last half of the tribulation period. The tribulation period lasts 7 years, 42 months. Did you not think it's odd? The book of Job. You studied the book of Job in Sunday school one time. 42 chapters in the book of Job. This is what happened. Job is a picture and a type of the nation of Israel. Job loses everything that he had. He was stripped of his family, stripped of his home, stripped of his kids. Everything was gone. And by the end of the 42 chapters, at the end, he gets more than what he lost at the first. Well, that is a picture of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel being Job, or Job being a type of the nation of Israel. And in the first part of the tribulation period, the nation of Israel is going to be stripped down to nothing. And then by the end of the tribulation period, they're going to be restored to more than what they lost to begin with. And so the book of Job, 42 chapters, deals with seven years of tribulation. Well, chapter number 11 dealt with the ministry of the two witnesses in the last half of the tribulation. Chapter 12 deals with the nation of Israel's place in the last half of the tribulation. Then chapter 13, what we're going to read tonight, deals with the Antichrist's position or his ministry in the last half of the tribulation. And then 14, which we'll try to deal with next Sunday night, is the ministry of the 144,000 Jews and the Lamb that were sealed, the 144,000 that were sealed, not the 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, the 144,000 Jews and the Lamb and their ministry at the last half of the tribulation. So tonight, basically, our job tonight is to give you the overview of the ministry of the Antichrist. Notice, this is chapter 13. A lot of people say, well, a lot of coincidence. No, this is not a coincidence. 13 is the number of rebellion in the Bible. And actually, 13, here we have the Antichrist showing up in chapter 13. You'll look at verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. You see that? 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwelt on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. We'll stop reading there for right now. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Allow us to read the Bible. And Lord, tote a Bible under our arm. A lot of countries don't have that privilege. Lord, they have to go to church in hiding and worry about being killed for their faith. And Lord, that hasn't happened here yet. Lord, I pray that we would never take that for granted. And Lord, we look for your coming. And we say, like John said, surely come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you now and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Revelation, you find a beast mentioned. Now, you think this is odd. Now, some of you are going to think, you can just think whatever you want to think. But do you realize that the limousine that the president, all presidents ride in, it's bulletproof, it's, you know, so much thick glass and yada, yada, yada. It's called the Beast. Just odd. The path of the Antichrist and his kingdom. Here's a 7-year period right here. And here's what the Antichrist is going to have to do. At the first, when the rapture takes place, the 7-year period will start. And he will have a political rise, whomever he may be. I'm not for sure. I think I know as far as he would be a Syrian Jew, probably from the new Roman Empire that will be established. And he'll probably have something wrong with his right arm and his right eye. And so on and so forth. But whomever he may be, he will have a political rise. And he will become very popular. And he'll have his establishment. And then about year number 2, he will have an economic rise. And how many of you have heard that kind of talk already? Our economy needs to be boosted up and this, that, and the other. And what you'll see here, he'll have to win the people over. Then he will have to do something with the economy. And then he will have a full military rise. He will be commander-in-chief and he will take over the military about halfway. And then, like we just read a few minutes ago, this Antichrist is going to be assassinated. He'll be shot in the head. Or I'll say shot. The Bible says wounded in the head. I'm not for sure if he'll be whatever. But anyway, something is going to go through his head. According to the Bible. An assassination. But what will happen is, we'll read it here in just a minute, he's going to resurrect from that assassination. And when he does, the whole world will wonder after the beast. And I'll explain that here in just a few minutes. He will break the covenant with the nation of Israel about halfway. He'll make a covenant. Remember, y'all remember that first horse rider in the first part of the book of the Revelation. He had a bow, but no arrow. The reason is he comes in peace. And you shoot a bow with these 3 fingers. You ever seen people do that? My head hurts, my stomach hurts, I can't find my cigarettes. And they'll do like this. Anybody that smokes does this. How are we doing now? Everybody seen dip? You ever seen dip snuff? I'm really stretching now, ain't I? I said all that to say this. The first 3.5, it will be peace. No arrow, peace. Well, what will happen about midway, he'll break the peace treaty with the nation of Israel and break that covenant. And there will be a Jewish Holocaust. He will institute the mark of the beast about middle ways. And probably a lot of Jews. Remember last week we were referring to the nation of Israel, last half of the tribulation. Remember, the nation of Israel had to run into the wilderness to hide. from this Antichrist. And that mark of the beast will come into play. I'll show you some of that here in just a minute, what this mark of the beast possibly could be. And then, of course, obviously, at the end, Jesus will come at the second coming and defeat the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon, in the Valley of Megiddo, I guess you could say. And so that is sort of like what he's going to be doing. And that's the path that he's going to take for 7 years. You'll look at verse number 1, chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horn, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Now, 7 heads and the 10 horns. These 7 heads are 7 kingdoms with kings. The first one was Babel, Genesis chapter number 10, started by a fellow by the name of Nimrod. Then the next one, Pharaoh. Pharaoh had God's people, the nation of Israel, in the land of bondage, in the land of Egypt, a picture and a type of the Antichrist, having God's people in bondage. And then Assyria whipped Egypt, they took over, and a fellow by the name of Sennacherib was the king there. And then you had Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Daniel the lion's den. Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all of that. Babylon. And then you had Darius. The Medes or the Persians beat the Babylonians and they whooped them. And so they took over. So King Darius was the next kingdom. And then Alexander the Great, Greece, whipped Persia. And they took over as the world power. And then after that, Rome came in power with Caesar Augustus. This is the kingdom that was in power when Jesus was born. Now, 7 heads. 7 heads. Okay? There's the 7 heads. And 10 horns. The 10 horns come from... The 10 horns will rise up out of this last kingdom. You say, preacher, why? This Roman Empire will revive. This is the old Roman Empire, but the new Roman Empire will come back into play over there in the Middle East. And it will involve 10 kingdoms that will join together and make... We've already got some of this. We've already got the European Common Market, and there's more countries in it than that. And we have the United Nations, where the king... So we already see countries coming together, joining and making an alliance and all of these kinds of things. Well, this is what's going to happen in the tribulation period. This beast will have 7 heads. There's the 7 heads. And out of this will be 10 horns. And you'll notice, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. That means there are going to be 10 kings. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. These kingdoms will not be on the Lord's side. They have the name of blasphemy. Now, what's going to happen? Verse number 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was like a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. Now, I'm not for sure if that's what it looked like, but that's what I found. That possibly... Now, you're saying, oh, that is no way. Well, look, if you'd have seen that on television or something, you'd say, man, that's neat. Anytime you show somebody out of the Bible, it's like, oh, that's the Bible. You wait till you see this thing come out of the sea. And you better hope you don't see it. You better hope you're watching that from TV up in your mansion. You say, this thing comes out of the sea. You say, of course, you know, in the Bible, this sea that this, you could say the sea of people, this sea of the whole world, this beast rises up out of the world system, and it has 7 heads, and then that one head has 10 horns on it, 10 confederated nations that join together, and he has a body like a leopard. He has feet like a bear. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. Now, what you'll have, you may want to write this down, but the lion, some people say, well, that's the United States. I'm not going to argue about that. But the lion definitely represents Persia and England. The bear, the feet of the bear, represents Greece and Russia. The leopard possibly represents Rome and possibly the United States. Because, now think. Y'all remember the guy? Flew over here in his own airplane, wore a dress, wears a little funny looking hat, dressed like mama. They call him Papa. And ain't he married? You got me? He comes from Rome to the United States and is welcomed with open arms. And I said all that last week. I'm not going to bore you with all that again. This leopard has spots on him. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 13, a person that had leprosy was considered spotted in his flesh. Notice these leopard spots. You have a half moon here and one underneath. You know, one half moon here and the other one like this. It looks like two lips. Y'all see that? Judas walked up to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas, a picture and a type of who? Antichrist. And betrayed the Lord with a kiss. Isn't it odd that these... it's just odd. You say, that's... Well, you never know. Did you know that these three animals, they say, I did a little research on it, they say the bear, the leopard, and the lion are three animals in the woods. When they go in, they mark their territory. They will stretch out as far as they can up on the tree, and they will scratch a bare place on the bark of the... They pull bark off the tree as high as they can get it. They'll mark a tree. They'll put a mark on the tree. And the reason they do that is because the higher up the mark is, you see a smaller bear come through and he's like, I might want to get out of this area. But the whole idea is they put marks on the tree. You know what this beast is going to do in the tribulation period? He's going to put marks on you. Well, hopefully not you. I hope you're saved. I hope you bypass all this stuff. But you'll see here that you say, now, this leopard. A leopard has a white belly, black spots, and a yellow body. Y'all see that? Noah had three sons. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Any country, nation, color come from them three boys. White, black, and yellow. Has all three. This Antichrist will probably be a mixture, an integrated mixture of all three of Noah's sons. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Probably be from the Middle East. You're probably not going to see, and I joked a whole lot this morning about, but you're probably not going to see the Antichrist rise up from the United States. It will probably be somebody over there in the Middle East. And somebody's going to rise up, and they're going to have political power. They're going to have economic power. They're going to have military power. And then they're going to have religious power. And you've already seen all of that come to pass almost right before your eyes. You have a world religiously. You ever thought about this? Anytime think about this. any religious, I say that in quotes, program that you see where you have a preacher involved. Little House on the Prairie. What'd he look like? Catholic priest, right? You with me? Anytime you have a religious emphasis in a program, they always make him look like he's a Catholic priest. You ever thought about that? Little House on the Prairie. I love it. Love the show. And I don't think Reverend whatever his name, what was his name, Reverend something? Alden, Reverend Alden. I loved him. Couldn't remember his name, but I loved him. And I don't think he was Catholic by any means. But my point being, I don't think they were Catholic in the Little House on the Prairie scene. But my point being is when they dressed him up as a Catholic priest. You think about it. Your religious programs and see. And you have, what, all right, when you have somebody, all right, you watch this one. Mark this one down. Mark her down. You have a scene on a program and they want a preacher or a minister to come in and pray with somebody at a hospital scene. Who is it? Isn't that odd? And we just said where this guy's going to come from. The ten horns are going to come from where? Rome. Isn't that odd? Did I ever tell you about odd? Anyway. Verse number 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound, you notice, deadly wound, was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, let me explain that. Now, listen. The nation of Israel, I'll try to explain this in the time we've got. The nation of Israel does not believe that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. That's why they crucified him. So, the nation of Israel is still looking for their Messiah. They're still looking. Now, there are some believing Jews that are saved as we are. Okay? I'm not saying all the Jews are going to hell. Not saying that. I'm saying most of the nation of Israel is unbelieving. When I say unbelieving, they do not believe. They believe Jesus Christ was a man like Moses, a good prophet, and all those kind of things. They do not recognize him as their Messiah. So, in the tribulation period, they're still looking for their Messiah. The Jews know that Bible. They know the Old Testament especially. And that Old Testament says about the Messiah going to rise from the dead. Well, Jesus Christ has already done that. They don't accept that. So when this Antichrist, one of his wounds, his deadly wound in the head, probably going to lay out in the street, and it's going to be on CNN, Fox News, NBC, ABC, whatever else, and it's going to be all over the world. I mean, the world leader is dead. And while the camera is on him, follow me, while the camera's on him, I mean, blood and brains everywhere. Is that all right? Y'all done ate lunch. And he wakes up and stands up and says, "That's all right, I'm all right." And starts waving at everybody. And the whole world falls down and worships this man. They say, "There's our Messiah." Because the Bible says he'll rise from the dead. That's him. That's why we call it the false Christ, the anti-Christ. He will duplicate everything God has ever done. God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, the Antichrist has already duplicated that. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. All three of these make up the unholy Trinity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this Antichrist is going to rise from the dead. And the whole world, this is what the Bible says, all the world wondered after the beast. Look at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave him power unto the beast. which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Man, this is our leader. Who's going to be able to whoop him? I mean, somebody just tried to assassinate him, and he got up from it. Man, that's the guy we want right there leading the pack. And the whole world, you're saying, how is this possible? How is anybody going to fall? Listen, the Bible, in the tribulation period, if you've ever heard the gospel, and if you've been in this church any length of time, you've heard the gospel. If you've heard the gospel and you refuse the gospel, you go in the tribulation period, you will be sent a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. And you'll believe everything that comes from his mouth. Look at verse number 5. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, let me see what the next... Oh, I was going to show you. Yeah, let me show you that. Let me show you that. Have you ever seen one of these things on your cereal box? I like Frosted Flakes. How many of y'all like Frosted Flakes? Hallelujah. And listen, let me just put this right here. When you eat cereal, it's Red Top milk. Do not mess up some Frosted Flakes with some colored water. I'll preach against that. I ain't got no verses for it, but I'll preach against it anyway. Yes, I do. Don't defile the temple. What is it? 2% milk? Give me the whole 100. Give me no 2%. This whole thing. Barcode. All the barcodes. All of them. You watch your barcodes. As two lines here, two in the middle, and two at the end. You see that two line right there? The one circled in red? Represents the number 6. That's 6 at the front, 6 in the middle, and 6 at the end. On all barcodes. 6, 6, 6. You say, preacher, what is that? Well, it's probably going to go in the right hand or the forehead. It's a barcode. You go into Sam's, Walmart, wherever, Country Mart, that's got that little scanner on the thing. This thing right here, let me try to sell it to you. In this country, we have identity theft. People are going to steal your identity. They'll steal your credit card. They'll steal your information, your Social Security number. Not with this ID no more. You go down to the Social Security office, you get your little ID in your hand, you won't have it. Throw your money away. Throw your credit cards away. Don't need a wallet no more. Nobody's going to be able to steal your identity anymore. You go into the store, no money exchanges hands. You run your hand over the scanner. It pops up, your checking account. Mr. Ballinger, you want us to take this out of your grocery? Yes, please do that. And all your address, everything pops up on the screen. Yeah, just take it out of my account. Thank you. No money changes hands, no credit card, no identity theft. We have a problem in this country called illegal immigration. Not with this anymore. If you don't have the mark, you lose your head. That pretty well takes care of that. If you don't have the little mark, then you can't go to Walmart and buy nothing and sell. You can't sell your car on eBay without your little ID number plugged it in to find out who you are. Hallelujah. It's coming to a city near you. Kidnapping. You have your kids, get that mark. They'll be able to... Oh, they'll be able to call OnStar. I lost my kid at the mall. Yes, I lost my kid at the mall. Can you tell me what store they're in? What are they doing in that store? All right, I'll go right there. You said, "Preacher, that's silly." No, it's coming. OnStar? I mean, how many of you got that on your vehicle? Well, maybe it's not OnStar anymore. What's it called now? You just punch a little button and they call somebody and they start talking to you over the car? I don't have it. Because it spooks me. You punch a button and somebody from somewhere starts talking to you in your car. And they know where you're at. And you thought this stuff in the Bible wasn't real. It's coming. So that's going to take care of your kidnapping. It's going to take care of identity theft. It's going to take care of your money currency situation. If you think Republican, Democrat, Green, Purple Party, whoever, if you think we're paying $18 trillion back in debt, you've lost your mind. We ain't paying that back. I don't care who gets elected, you ain't paying that back. No matter how, look, do you realize how much money that is? You're not paying that back anytime soon. So what do? You call China, you call Russia, the bear of the north, and the kings of the east. You get them all together and say, "Look, y'all own our country anyway. And we need a world currency. I mean, there's no sense in taking a $20 bill and having to swap it over when I go to Russia and visit. There's no sense in doing all exchange when I go to Mexico and get pesos. There's no sense in going to Scotland and I have to go get euros like I did. And all the exchanges, if it's not dollar, it's not dollar for dollar, it's you get 20 pesos for all that kind of. And why don't we just simplify this thing? Why don't the whole world go to one currency? China, would y'all wipe the slate clean? You own us anyway. Let's wipe the slate clean, everybody, and we'll start from scratch. We have one world currency, and let's start over. Would y'all vote for me? No. This is coming. That mark. You say, "Preacher, what is that mark?" Well, it tells you right here. It tells you, verse number 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that heareth understandeth. Count the number of the who? For it is the number of a man. You know what the number of man is in the Bible? It's 6. And his number is 600, 60. A score is 20. 66. 666. And that is the number of the beast. Now, a lot of people say it's going to be 6. I think it's probably going to be some type of computer chip or whatever. They're already doing that in dogs and cats and animals and stuff. Already doing that. And trying to find, your animal. Matter of fact, I was seeing this on, I know it's 10 after. Y'all hang on. I was seeing that just the other day. I was running through the channels and all of a sudden and there's lost a dog. And a dog showed up at somebody's house. They took this dog to the Humane Society or whatever. And they took this little machine, this little handheld machine, and run it across the neck of that dog. And it pulled up and said, "Well, here's the owner. We'll call him right now." They called him. The owner come got the dog. Ain't that something? It's coming to a city near you. You better get ready. And the Antichrist is against God. He's against everything about God. And everything is shaping up in that fashion. Now, the thing is, about on Sunday night, the tribulation hadn't happened yet. Hadn't happened yet. So you got time to get saved if you're not saved. You got time to get on the winning side. Because the tribulation hadn't set in yet. Rapture hadn't happened yet. You got time tonight. So Mark, you come to the piano. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight.